And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today we'd like to welcome to the show, as we do every month or so, Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers, who continues the hard work of leading our city through this difficult time of the pandemic and trying to make sure the budget is balanced and that we're surviving this pandemic with, you know, the impact lessened as much as possible through the efforts of leaders such as himself and our healthcare leaders and those at the county level as well and state level, we should mention. Mayor Suthers, first of all, welcome to The Extra. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you, Shannon.
We have a lot to talk about. First of all, the coronavirus response, but we will be getting to a little bit later on the controversial decision regarding Space Command, as well as a change in the ranks for some of your top departmental leaders. We're talking about the fire department, so we'll be getting to that in a moment. But first, let's talk about the pandemic response. The coronavirus vaccine rollout that's taking place in, and it's a countywide, county by county in Colorado taking care of it, each county taking care of it for their own county. How do you feel that's going so far? And do you feel it's getting to the people who need it the most?
Well, I think it started out a little bit slow, but I think that's understandable. And I have a weekly conference with health department and hospital officials about, it used to be about hospital capacity and things like that, but now it's about the coronavirus vaccine distribution. And I'm increasingly optimistic that the game plan is a good one. Obviously, the first tranche was getting healthcare workers that had immediate exposure to COVID patients vaccinated, then other healthcare workers, first responders, nursing home occupants and employees. We then, in terms of first responders, the city worked with UC Health to get police and fire vaccinated. We're pretty far through that process. We're getting people over 70 vaccinated. We'll move to 65 and over here pretty quickly. The other thing I feel good about is that you know, we've got the vaccinations going to the two major hospital systems. We've got vaccinations going to Peak Vista, which is our indigent healthcare network. We've got vaccinations in some of the large clinics like Optimum and Matthews View. So there's an awful lot of people encompassed in their data banks that are getting contacted, and if they're appropriate age or health categories, can set up appointments. But what I was concerned about, and I think I'm is being increasingly addressed, is that segment of the population that, you know, doesn't have access to the internet, isn't in a data bank, and is going to get a call from the hospitals and things like that. But if you noticed in the paper the other, I think it was, I can't remember if it was late last week or something like that, as it went through where they're available, they had telephone numbers at each of these places, including Peak Vista, and then they had a general telephone number that people could call to get direction about where they needed to go. Now, obviously, people are going to have to take some initiative, but you don't have to be on the internet. You don't have to be in a hospital or a health clinic database, but you are going to probably have to pick up the phone if you're not being contacted by them. But I think what I hope to see pretty quickly is a place, a public place where when we get to the general public, people can just drive up, show that they're in the age group that's currently being vaccinated and get a vaccination. And I think that will happen.
And not to draw a comparison, but in Pueblo County, that is essentially what's happening. They had some hiccups in the first day, definitely hiccups, big delays, big problems in the first day. But now they've rolled it out where there's a centralized registration place, and then it's a public vaccine site where people are going through and getting their vaccine after first registering and getting information back. that, I think, may be what was envisioned would be happening in El Paso County, because here at the station, we do hear from some of our older citizens who are expecting that, and that's not what's happening here.
Well, I mean, they can call, so far there's not a drive-up facility, if you will. I think that may happen. There's a big difference between 125,000 people and 500,000, or 750,000
people. The populations, right.
Yeah, the counties and things like that. And we have much larger, you know, age groups, much larger healthcare tranche, police and fire tranche, over 70, all that sort of thing. But the health department kind of, they have the power to set up how the distribution takes place. And as I say, my big emphasis to them in the last couple of phone calls is to make sure that we hit the 10-15% estimated that aren't in any healthcare system registry, things like that, and make sure that they can either just pick up the telephone and make a call. And as I say, you gotta read the paper or make a few phone calls or things like that to find out where you go.
Right. You've received the vaccine, correct, Mayor?
I've received the first one.
The first one. Do you feel you're due to get to the second dose?
Yeah, around the 1st of February, right.
Do you feel a sense of, because from a personal standpoint, that has to give you maybe a level of safety, of personal safety that you feel internally that is hard to describe for people who haven't had it yet. Is that coming, and do you think that's going to be really a game changer for our state, for our community, for this city?
Well, it's gradually going to come. Before we get to, the young people over, I think, what are we going to vaccinate, over 19 or something like that, stuff like that. It's going to take a while, but we'll get there. And I think for older folks, it does give a great deal of assurance. Now, just keep in mind, the numbers I've seen, the first vaccine gives you about 50% immunity, and then with the second one, you're up to 95%. I think what I see going on right now, Shannon, is a race between the spread of COVID and the vaccine and reaching herd immunity. The estimate is we need to vaccinate 70-80%, depending upon who you talk to, of the population to get to herd immunity. And wouldn't it be great if we could do that by June 1st or something like that? And I think there's certainly determination by the Biden administration to try and step up the distribution patterns and things like that. So, I get it. And I, if anybody, the other interesting thing I want to make sure I understand, you can, for example, you can call UC Health and they'll get you in the database. You don't have to be in their existing database now. So people can call Peak Vista and say I'm eligible, I want to set an appointment, and you can get an appointment set. So it does take some initiative. At this point in time, we don't have a drive-up facility, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's in the not-too-distant future.
Okay. And we should mention, I just went on just as you were mentioning it, like you said, it's UC Health. If you just go to uchealth.org, it will guide you to a sign-up for a My Health Connection account. And that is apparently the mechanism that they are using for folks to, as you said, get entered into the database. So for anyone who's listening to that and wants a little further further instruction on that, we want to make sure that everyone feels like they are getting the information they need to really be protected as much as they can as we move through this pandemic.
It's a mystery to me, Shannon, that the surveys indicate that a third of people in Colorado and throughout the United States say they aren't going to get the vaccination. I just don't quite understand that, but I realize there's some people that have reservations about getting shots and things like that. But come on, nobody's suffering serious ill effects from this vaccination, and this is the absolutely the direction to go. And I hope that as they see other Americans and other Coloradans getting vaccinated, they'll choose to do so also.
And certainly it is key to being able to bring those numbers down and being able to reopen things on a more normal basis. We're going to talk about, after the break, the reopening that took place after the new year with businesses allowed to go from level red to level orange, and what that's done for the downtown community. We're going to be talking about that with Mayor John Southers after the break. We need to take a short time out for commercial messages. We'll be back with more of The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And today, our person, our guest of honor, is Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers, who's been talking to us about the vaccine rollout in our region. And certainly it's handled by the county, but as mayor, I know, Mr. Southers, you've been very involved in staying on top of it and getting the information out. Let's talk a little bit about how the economy may or may not be improving now that we've been able to finally get out of that level red that was very restrictive that we saw as we moved into the holidays. What has been the reaction from the business community in being able to go back to more of a less restrictive but still a pretty restrictive way of operating?
I think they're very appreciative, and as you may know, Shannon, we actually didn't get there numbers-wise. What happened was we went to this color-coded scheme in the fall as numbers started to spike, and of course numbers really spiked. And there was a great deal of rigidity to that scheme. You know, if you got to a certain level, then things shut down and all that sort of thing. And we got to red, restaurants shut down, gyms, things like that. And I have been fairly, overall, I've been fairly complimentary of the way the state of Colorado and Governor Polis have managed COVID. I think we've done it much better than a lot of other states. I thought we gradually opened after, you know, the March shutdown in a way that was appropriate, and our economy, particularly in Colorado Springs, came back pretty well, considering what I thought we were going to be looking at after March and April. But I think when we got into some of these color-coded things, it got a little too complicated. I think we were losing public buy-in. I was very frank with the governor about that, and I wasn't the only one. And to his credit, although he initially balked at letting restaurants reopen until you got to, you know, orange numbers, if you will, right after Christmas, he did agree to go to orange for purposes of business and restaurants. And I think that was I really credit him for doing that. Because I think it was needed. I think the restaurants had kind of been treated poorly in this whole thing. There's, you know, it appeared from all the information we had that the super spreaders were informal events that people were having, including in their homes, and there was no indication that the restaurants that have worked hard to maintain capacity limits and stuff were a disproportionate contributor to things. So I thought it was important, and I think the restaurants are very appreciative of this. We are still moving towards a five-star system that would allow them to open to greater capacity. The question for me is whether we're going to get there first or whether we're going to actually get to level orange where we can have, and perhaps move to a yellow, if you will, and get to 50% capacity. But I think the restaurants really appreciate it. Our economy, Shannon, has been incredibly resilient. I don't know if you've noticed, you know, after deep reductions in city revenue mm-hmm. in March and April, we kind of, through the summer, we were kind of even with last year. And then we got in the fall, and September, October, and November, we were above, significantly above last year. Don't know what December is going to look like yet. We'll know at the first week in February.
And you're talking about tax revenues and such.
Yeah, tax revenues. That's the biggest month. But the fact of the matter is, in terms of sales and tax revenue, we're only about six tenths of 1% down over last year. That's phenomenal. When you consider tourism is still down 40%. Overall, total revenue, I think we're going to be down maybe $10 million, which is incredible. I mean, I thought we were going to be talking about $100 million when we were talking March and April. What's doing it? Construction is booming, both residential and commercial, and all those residential people buying homes are buying furniture and landscaping and all that sort of thing. Online purchasing is off the charts. I think it's going to turn out that people are buying more than they were before.
They have more free time. Sometimes some might say they might have more free time to be, whether it's online shopping or, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, some of our big online retailers are up 300% over last year. So it's pretty amazing. And then you've got people are going out of their way, I think, to frequent some of their favorite retail establishments and their restaurants and picking up to-go food and things like that. And, well, you know, certainly the restaurant and tourism business has been hit hard. The overall economy has been incredibly resilient.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how this spring shapes up because it feels like there's a pent-up demand for people to resume maybe some of their normal travels that they did, you know, scheduling trips. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter about that, about how soon we can get back to normal with that. Mayor, we do need to take another short break because I want to delve into a very difficult decision that came for the federal government within the last week, and that's about U.S. Space Command. So we'll be talking to Mayor John Suthers about the decision that would move Space Command from Colorado Springs, where it's been as a provisional headquarters, to Huntsville, Alabama, and what the mayor thinks about that, and what is next in that battle, if there is still any fight to be done. 9:27 is our time. We're listening to The Extra, and we have Mayor John Suthers on the line here with us as our special guest today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Extra. Our guest for the day is Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers. And Mayor Suthers, I'm going to just really quickly, before we get to some of the questions involving U.S. Space Command, I'm going to preface for our listeners who may be unfamiliar with what U.S. Space Command is or why the decision regarding it was so important. U.S. Space Command is now going to be a permanent combatant command, and it allows the U.S. military to gather all of its military and intelligence efforts in space under one command. That includes defending American satellites, supporting American troops from orbit, and planning how future combat might be conducted in space. That descriptor coming from the Military Times, thanks to their journalists, because we've been following a lot of what they've been writing. And when the decision came out and was announced last week, shockwaves reverberated throughout the Southern Colorado region, Mayor Suthers, because that decision coming from the Air Force saying that Huntsville, Alabama would become the permanent headquarters of Space Command, pending, as I understand it, an environmental review. Tell us what your reaction was to that and where you stand now a week later.
Well, I was deeply disappointed. Space Command is up and running and doing well in Colorado Springs. It's acquired manpower. It has incredible space-related assets here in Colorado Springs, support from various other commands, things like that. And we felt that because staying in Colorado Springs would mean no interruption to national security and would avoid the expense of moving, that those were tremendous things in our favor. When we saw the criteria that the Air Force was applying, we felt or indicated they were applying. We felt very good about it. You know, what sort of other assets did you have here? What kind of support for the military did you have in your community? Things like that. So we felt we put on a very good case. We felt like our presentation to the Air Force, which was a virtual one, went well. We felt that our site visits went well. We put together a package. You know, the Air Force avoided the word incentive, but they wanted to know what kind of commitments communities would make for the future support of Space Command. We felt we put together a very good package that we valued about $130 million. The city of Colorado Springs owns 1,500 acres of Peterson Air Force Base. We've worked with the Air Force through the years to allow them to, that they lease from the city. We've allowed them to do whatever they need to do in terms of infrastructure, and we said we continue to do that, including give you fee simple ownership of any land that you wanted, and that would mean no land acquisition costs. We offered reductions in construction, no sales use tax, city or county, on construction in support of Space Command. We talked how we work with them to, if they needed to use the current golf course for development of offices and things like that, we would make sure that another golf course was constructed across Mark Scheffel and the Banning Lewis Ranch area there. We got some private support. The University of Colorado Foundation, the Anschutz Foundation together contributed $11.5 million to set up an astronautical space degree program at UCCS, something they wanted to see. And by the way, that's going to go ahead in any event.
That's great.
And we also, the Air Force indicated that they wanted support for expansion of the Child Development Center at Peterson, and we said got commitments from foundations for $5 million to do that. So we felt our package was quite good. Here's the thing that the optics that concern us a lot. Typically, basing decisions are made free of politics. I found it interesting. I met with President Trump when he came both for the Air Force Academy graduation and for a political rally several months later. And he said he was going to make the decision. When he was here, that was a little bit disconcerting to me. It would typically be made by the Air Force top brass. And then as things moved along and we went through this process, we were assured, no, the Secretary of the Air Force is going to make this decision. But the fact of the matter is, before the decision was made, the Secretary of the Air Force met with the President. And only after that meeting was this decision made. And what really makes the optics look bad, Shannon, is that, Tommy Tuberville is the new senator from Alabama. He was running against Jeff Sessions in the primary, and obviously Trump had it in for Jeff Sessions because as Attorney General he had authorized a special prosecutor. And campaigned down there against Sessions in favor of Tuberville. Tuberville won, and they have a very close relationship. But then you've got the congressman from Huntsville, a guy named Mo Brooks, who bragged that he met with the president for 3 hours, either December 21st or 22nd, to talk about what efforts might be made to overturn the electoral vote on January 6th. He acknowledges that the White House asked him to be the warm-up act for the president at that the rally on January 6th. And, of course, he got up there and said, exhorted the crowd to go to the Capitol and kick ass. He and Tuberville both say that the president committed to them that Space Command would go to Huntsville. The Air Force political appointees, the secretary and undersecretaries, say, no, this was a merit decision. Huntsville came out on top in virtually every category. That's pretty hard to believe considering cost of, in terms of categories like cost of moving and things like that. Obviously, they came out ahead in cost of living. I have talked to a source that I trust in the Air Force, and he said that probably the Air Force documents, if anybody was interested in steering it towards Huntsville, the Air Force documents gave them a lot of ammunition. The Air Force Selection Committee seemed a lot less concerned on speed of setting up the command as it was for, you know, a cost evaluation 20 to 30 years down the road. For this person who saw some of the documents indicated that some of them seemed very counterintuitive to him, this person having lived in both Huntsville and Colorado Springs. For example, it rated Huntsville, Alabama schools superior to Colorado Springs. We have always felt that the Air Force Selection Committee was not did not have good school data, and I think maybe that may have been a reality. The other thing that's very clear is that for this Air Force committee, quality of life translated to one thing, cost of living, and didn't talk about, you know, any recreational attributes or anything like that. So here's the bottom line. I think we're not sure exactly the level of political influence that took place here, and we do know the president said he was going to make the decision. We know that all appearances are that the president felt very indebted to very relevant politicians in Alabama. Obviously, Alabama voted for President Trump. Colorado did not. We have reason to believe the Air Force, in some of their analysis, probably gave some credibility to that decision. So
some weight.
There's only one thing to do, and that's mm-hmm. to begin a campaign to overturn the decision. No money's been appropriated. There's a lot of decision money that needs to be appropriated over the next 5 years while this is in Colorado Springs. And we've talked to our congressional delegation, and they're working with the Biden transition team, and as of tomorrow, we'll be working with the Biden administration to see if we can't move this decision back a different direction.
Because some decisions that President Trump has made could be reversed, but it's unclear whether this is one of them.
That's right. I mean, it clearly could be. This is a decision by the Trump administration, and as I say, no dollars have been appropriated yet, and at some point in time, they're going to have to get to a budget session where folks are going to say, hey, we need $2 billion to move this thing to Huntsville, Alabama. And then there'll be an argument. Huntsville's going to say, oh, you know, you'll save that money over the next 30 years because of housing
costs,
allowances, mm-hmm. and things like that. And we're going to say the very important thing to national security is speed of setting up the command. And I think the Air Force brass itself, the non-political part of the Air Force, was a lot more focused on speed of setting up the command than was the political side of the Air Force.
And it has enormous repercussions. When we come back, we'll touch briefly on those. But then, Mayor, before we wrap up this edition of The Extra, I do want to talk to you about your new fire chief who's going to be taking over for Ted Colas, who is retiring. So we'll be talking about that, and also Southwest Airlines. They are going to be ramping up, and that is going to be changing the landscape of this city in many ways as well. So we're going to be talking about that when The Extra continues. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Extra. Well, when we host Mayor John Southers of Colorado Springs, it seems like the hour just zooms by. There's so much to talk about and, you know, very limited time to talk about it. The impact, if we do indeed lose U.S. Space Command, Mayor, what is that going to be on our city?
Well, it's significant. The number of active duty troops is not large. You know, there's about 600 here in the Space Force. Actually, we call them Guardians. And I think they would add another 800, something like that. But in terms of defense contracting and things like that, it was a very, very significant economic boost for the city. Now, let's not lose sight of the fact that we still have tremendous a number of space assets here, both commercial and military. Schriever is growing. There's a tremendous amount of military construction that's already in the pipeline and things like that. We obviously, if for in the long term we did not get Space Command, we would seek to get some of the other aspects of the Space Force, whether it be training. You know, all these people are coming out of the Air Force Academy. This would be the ideal place to make the initial training and movement into the Space Force. We'll make sure we do that. Number one, we want to overturn the decision. Number two, we're going to be very attentive to make sure that we take advantage of all the aspects of of what the military is setting up over the next several years. And in the long run, you know, the Colorado Springs economy is booming. There's a lot of tremendous things going on, but we're very proud of our military heritage. I think the military is part of our DNA, and this is something we really wanted to be the home of. We're going to continue to press the matter, and if it doesn't work out, we'll continue to press, you know, making sure that we can meet the needs of future missions of all branches of the military with additional facilities and missions here in Colorado Springs.
It's not over until it's over, in other words, right?
Yeah, I say it's not over till the moving trucks pull up.
Which, as we have said, is several years away, if that ever gets to that point. Okay.
Yeah, it's 5 years away.
5 years. Mayor Southers, let's talk about the fire department, a change in leadership there. Tell us about your new Fire Chief Royal.
Chief Ted Colas is retiring after, I think, close to 6 years. And we went through a national search, as we always do. This is a big city, and I think we feel compelled to do that. Had 37 applicants, had some excellent applicants, including fire chiefs of fairly sizable cities. But in the final analysis, you know, in consultation with other people, including a couple of council members that sat through the interviews, our conclusion was that, you know, we have a good fire department. It's not like it's broken, and I feel compelled to bring someone in from the outside to fix it. I feel like any issues I have, I can deal with folks that are in the department. And one of the finalists from inside the department was Deputy Fire Chief Randy Royal, who's had a long and illustrious career in the fire department, and he got the nod. And I think Randy is incredibly well respected by the firefighters, the paramedics. He's got a long paramedic history himself, the civilian staff at the fire department, Local 5, which represents firefighters. And I think he'll do a great job, and I'm pleased that he's stepping up to take on that role in March.
And we certainly salute outgoing Fire Chief Ted Colas, who has served the city well during his time at that position. And then finally, Mayor, we have about a minute left, but we are about a month and a half now, maybe 2 months, away from Southwest Airlines starting to bring service to and from Colorado Springs. That's going to be momentous.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think their timing might be pretty good, because if we can continue to get these vaccines distributed, as you mentioned earlier, I think there's a lot of pent-up demand. I'd love to see, you know, the vast majority of people immunized by this summer, and see this pent-up demand result in a great tourism season for us. This is very, very important. Southwest is starting with 13 flights a day to 5 different cities. Now, there may be cities that, oh, gee, I want to go to New York, and they don't want to go to New York. But what you have to understand, if you're willing to fly from Colorado Springs to Chicago, get on another Southwest to New York, yeah, it's going to be relatively cheap. It's going to save you the inconvenience of driving all the way to Denver for the direct flight, and it's going to encourage Southwest to increase the number of direct flights. I think this has the potential to be a real game changer if we can, get Southwest to gradually increase direct flights over time. I think that's their mindset. But we have to support this airline and our existing airlines in order to get expanded traffic. These folks are in the business of making money, and they'll expand if they're successful, and it's our obligation to make them successful.
Well, I, for one, would be glad to never have to drive to DIA again, especially during a snowstorm,
especially, right now,
especially looking for parking.
Construction. It's going to be under construction for the next 10 years.
I know. Well, Mayor Southers, thank you so much for all your insight and information, and we appreciate you passing that along to our listeners and taking part in this conversation as you do every month. Thank you.
My calendar says I'll be talking to you tomorrow morning very briefly. So
you will.
Okay.
You will. A little bit earlier, but we will look forward to hearing from you on KRDO's Morning News as well. Take care, and thanks again
Bye-bye.
For your time. Thank you for listening to The Extra.